Amen. You can be seated. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make music to him with a 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song to him. Play skillfully on the strings with a joyful shout. I am so thankful for some teenagers that did that exact thing this morning and led us to do the same thing, to sing praises to our God, to lead us. Now, they didn't have a harp or a lyre, but they had modern versions of that, right? Because in this psalm, Psalm 33, which is where we will be today at South Winds, it's a psalm of praise, in that we are to praise God. That means when we praise Him, we give our approval, our acclamation, our tribute, our commendation, our admiration for who God is, because He is worthy, that is deserving of praise. Because of who He is, because of what He's done, and because of what He's doing. You know, I'm so thankful. You guys know that the oldest member of our worship team today is going into grade 12, hey? Going into grade 12. Into university. Who's going into university? Marcus is going into university. Right on. Thank you. Thank you, Bernard. I was behind on that one. What's new, hey? Pastor's behind. We had students lead us in worship. There were students that led us in a song about cheerful giving, leading us to give. Now, we have many, many people in South Winds that have hearts that are drawn to different ministries, really across the world. And you guys know that Hope Mission is one that we have said, as a church, we are going to get behind Hope Mission, a local ministry here in town that feeds and helps children especially, but children and families who don't have enough food in their home. And so they feed lots and lots of kids, lots and lots of families. And so that's why we wanted G522 to lead us in getting even further behind Hope Mission. And I know there are many other ministries and charities that you guys are behind, but we can do this one together. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise from the upright is beautiful. And you know, the praise that the psalmist is talking about here is supposed to be a ruckus occasion. It's supposed to be noisy. It's supposed to be full of joy and cheer and volume, actually. You know, now, it may not be a rock concert, I don't know, but there's supposed to be fullness in this worship. That's why I love to sing with you, South Winds Church, because I believe when you sing with your heart. You know, there's a lot of us that do what the Scriptures tell us to do, that we make a joyful noise, don't we? It may not be a noise that's on key, but we make a joyful noise because God is worthy of praise. You know, in this psalm, we're gonna see a progression of the reasons why we worship God. God is really awe-inspiring to worship. God speaks and the heavens and the earth are created. That's the first reason why we sing, is because God created everything we are, everything we have. God chooses His people. In this psalm that we'll read this morning, it's the Israelites, the nation of Israel. Today, we understand that Jesus, the very Son of God, came from the line of David, came from this chosen people, came into the world to provide the only way for right standing with God for all of us in the world. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus in this room, this is why we sing praises. We have reason to sing that is beyond the attempt to comprehend the vastness of His universe. More inspiring than the fact that God has created us and called us His sons and daughters. It is reason to praise Him and celebrate Him now for the work that He is doing presently. You see, it's not just the things that God has done, it's the things that God is doing and will do, because He's always at work. You know, we praise God because He saved us from ourselves and from our choices. We praise Him from the day that we became followers of Jesus, that present day, and we also praise Him for the present day activity and the answers to the prayers that we're praying now. We praise Him because, you know, He started South Winds Church almost 12 years ago. In a few weeks, it'll be 12 years since we had our first public worship service in the Auburn Bay Community Center. Now, we celebrate with Junction Church, with Multiply Church, and by God's grace, next year we'll celebrate with a new church plant in Legacy. You know, we praise God for His past work, and we praise God for His present work and His future work. In fact, that's where a couple of our people are today, and a few of our people have been for the last several weeks, is helping out leading worship at Junction Church over in Mahogany. You know, I love that we can be a family of churches, a group of churches together that help each other in praising and worshiping God together. Psalm 33 commands us to sing God's praises. And one of those reasons is because of His creation. We're going to read about that here in just a minute, but I want to give you an excerpt from Dr. Peter Edwards. He's an astronomer, and this is what he says about the universe. Now, I want you to pay attention here. He says, "You will never, ever get your head around how big the universe is." Well, thanks for that. We get it, right? He says, "It is just enormous. There is no way that the human mind can comprehend the true immensity of the universe. We are happy with the size of an elephant, or the size of a tree, or maybe even the size of a cathedral, a massive, beautiful structure. But if we go beyond that, our brains just start to run out of gas," he says. "We can't quite comprehend the vastness of what God has created." We pointed the Hubble telescope at what? He said, we pointed the Hubble telescope, it appeared to be a very ordinary patch of the night sky. He says, if you imagine, if you put a grain of sand on your finger, and you held it at arm's length, and you looked at the place in the sky that that grain of sand covered up, that is the piece that the Hubble telescope focused on. Can you imagine? That's the piece it zoomed into. And what the telescope saw, he says, was incredible. There are 10,000 galaxies in a patch of sky the size of a grain of sand held at arm's length. If this tiny patch of sky is like every other, then we can calculate how many galaxies are out there. He says the visible universe contains around 100 billion galaxies. Each one of those galaxies contains around about 100 billion stars. Okay? Any math majors out there calculating so far? He says that means the visible universe contains something like 10,000 million, million, million stars. I didn't take the time to see how many zeros that is. That's a lot of zeros. That means there are more stars in the visible universe than there are grains of sand on the earth. God is truly powerful, Southwinds Church. That's one of the reasons why we praise Him. One of the reasons why we gather together and sing every single week. Now, let's read through Psalm 33. I'm going to stop at different portions along the way, but let's read through it together. I'll read aloud. You follow along. Braden's going to have it up on the screen here. Because we are certainly blessed to praise. Praise to the Creator. All right. "Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make music to Him with a 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song to Him. Play skillfully on the strings with a joyful shout. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work is trustworthy. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into a heap. He puts the depths into storehouses. Let the whole earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it came into being. He commanded, and it came into existence. The Lord frustrates the counsel of the nations. He thwarts the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart from generation to generation." You see, the psalmist here in verses 4 to 11 helps us with those reasons for why we praise God. We already talked about we praise God because of His creative power. We praise God because of His right and faithful character, that God is faithful. He is consistent. God never contradicts Himself. God is always the same. What God says, we can trust. You know, there are a lot of people in this world. Maybe I can't say that. There are people in this world that you and I trust. And depending on the person, depending on your circles and your experience, you may have a lot of people that you trust. You may have very few people that you trust. And yet, the one thing that all of us people have in common is that we're going to let each other down eventually. We may not intend to, it won't be on purpose, but there's going to be a time when I don't hold up to my end of the bargain. There's going to be a time where I fail to be there. There's going to be a time where I don't back up what I say, whether it's intentional or not. It's just going to happen. You know, the wonderful thing is that we serve a God that is not the case. Look again, the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is trustworthy. He is right. He is constant. He is faithful. All of his work, you can trust it. All of his word, we can trust it. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. That God makes all of himself available to us, and then he gives us the choice to choose him. Now, he is an all-knowing God, all-powerful God, all-present God. And so, how does he know who's going to choose him and who doesn't, and still give us choice? Don't ask me to explain that one, okay? And yet I know it to be true in his word. I know it to be true of him. It's the truth. The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of his mouth. So the observations of that astronomer, right? 10,000 million, million, million stars, that came from the breath of God. The piece of the sky, when you extend your arm and a grain of sand that covers that speck of the sky that we zoomed in with a Hubble telescope, that was breathed by God. He spoke and it came to be. This is the God we serve. He gathers the water of the sea into a heap. He puts the depths into storehouses. What the psalmist is trying to get at is, as vast as the seas are, as amazing and incredible as the oceans are, God gathers those up in storehouses like farmers gather grain. You know, we drove back from Wyoming Friday and Saturday of this week. We broke the trip up into 2 days to come home because it was, you know, we were a little tired at the end of the week, right? And I'm telling you, between here and Wyoming, we drove past some grain fields, didn't we? There was grain field after grain field after grain field. And those farmers waiting for that dry weather, when the time is appropriate, they'll drive all those combines. And we saw one field that had 6 combines lined up. And the hopper ready to go for those combines just to shoot grain into that bad boy. And they put it in the grain elevators. They put it in the silos. And they store it. The psalmist says, you know, as easy as it is for the farmer to gather his crop, that's what God does with the oceans. You know, we've been on this earth a long time, haven't we, as people? A long time. And we've done lots of exploration. Anybody ever watch documentaries on Netflix or, you know, National Geographic Channel or whatever it is? Documentaries about the oceans and how we still know so little about certain creatures in the oceans. Well, one of those mysterious creatures is the whale. Think about the mysteries of just one of God's creatures, the whale. These big, beautiful creatures spend 95% of their lives in the ocean, one of the deepest and darkest places that we know about. Without warning, they pull 30,000 pounds of blubber against gravity and leap out of the water for unexplainable reasons. We don't know why they do it, but they do it. Some baby whales gain 100 pounds an hour while nursing. Hello. That's good milk. The song of a humpback whale lasting for 10 to 20 minutes and being repeated for hours at a time is produced for no apparent reason. We don't know definitively why they do it. Biologists speculate that it may be related to mating, but truthfully, no one is quite sure. The reason they breach is also a mystery. For show, for mating, for fun, like are they just in a good mood? There are speculations, but no one really knows why. Behold them for a second and you feel helpless, out of control. Not the terrible kind of helpless, but the beautiful kind where we feel small and God feels big and the mysteries of the world are acceptable to be unexplained. One writer tried to describe his sense of awe as a huge whale swam underneath his ocean vessel. He said this, in that one motion, my entire presence is undermined. I feel rather than see this 80-foot animal swimming below, knowing it is there tugs at my gut, and something inside makes me want to plunge in and dive with it to some unfathomable depth where no one would ever find us. You know, we are awestruck by the power of God's creation. We are awestruck by the power of the sea. I'm a little intimidated by the ocean. Right? Like I grew up in North Texas, not by the ocean. We live in Alberta. You know, it's tough to get to an ocean from here. When I go, it is awe-inspiring and it's a little intimidating. I don't know about you, but for me, it's a little intimidating. I'm a pretty good swimmer. It's intimidating. We are awestruck by the power of the sea, the creatures in it, the vast landscapes and the storms that rage over them. Again, when we were traveling down to Wyoming last Saturday, and by the way, can I just say thank you for praying for us? We did. God gave us traveling mercies. He gave us grace. We were perched 25 feet above the ground, putting bats of insulation in the attic of this future ministry center. And Southwinds, you would have been proud of your team because they all jumped in and worked hard without grumbling, without complaining. Because when we got there on Sunday afternoon and we were like, okay, are we going to do drywall? Are we going to paint? What are we going to do? And then the foreman looked at us and he goes, hey, you guys are doing insulation. If you've ever done insulation, it's an itchy job. But you know what? The smile never left those team members. They jumped in and they worked hard. In fact, Karina is known as Cat now because she was crawling in the trusses of that roof like I didn't think anybody could do. Thank you for praying. But when we were traveling down last Saturday and drove through a rainstorm, we couldn't see three little white strips in front of us. I'm telling you, like it was harder rain than I maybe have ever driven through in my life. You know, we still did 80 miles an hour, but it was really tough to see, you know? No, we didn't really do 80 miles an hour in that, but it was the sheer power of the wind and the water in that one storm. You know, at the end of that deluge, when we did creep back up to the speed limit, which is 80 miles an hour, which we could learn from in Alberta, that's 125 or 130, something like that, right? The sheer power of that wind and water, at the end of the deluge, we looked to the east and saw one of the most vibrant rainbows I've ever seen. It was a double rainbow. It was amazing. You could see each of the individual colors. You know, you ever seen that? Just an amazing rainbow? And it was that reminder of God's promise. You remember the story, anybody? The story of Noah, where God flooded the earth. He wiped the slate clean, except for this one family that he preserved. And when the waters receded, the rainbow appeared as a promise from God that he would never destroy the earth by flooding again. You know, God gives us his creation. He gives us these moments to remind us that we need to praise him and worship him, to remind us that he is worthy, that he is a God of purpose, that despite the plans of the surrounding nations in this psalm, that the God of right and faithful character is powerful enough for his purposes to be unthwarted, for his purposes never to waver. His purpose is to bring glory to himself. His purpose is to bring life to people who don't have it, through his son Jesus. Let's read on, starting in verse 12. Psalm 33, starting in verse 12. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen to be his own possession. The Lord looks down from heaven. He observes everyone. He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth from his dwelling place. He forms the hearts of them all. He considers all of their works. A king is not saved by a large army. A warrior will not be rescued by great strength. The horse is a false hope for safety. It provides no escape by its great power. But look, the Lord keeps his eye on those who fear him, those who depend on his faithful love, to rescue them from death and to keep them alive in famine. The psalmist reminds us that the people of God have become God's inheritance. This is actually a reference to land or property possessed in perpetuity by a family in which is inalienable, or another way to say that, unchallengeable, absolute, immutable, unassailable. It cannot be taken away. This is the inheritance that God's people are. Praising God for being part of his family. We can praise God that we are a part of his family, of his community. In John 1, it tells us that Jesus came into this world, that he lived a sinless life. He was completely obedient. He was rejected by the people that he came to save, followed God all the way to death on a cross, and was risen again. And all of this gives us the right to be called sons and daughters of God. sons and daughters of God. Reminds God's people to trust in him versus the futility of human power. He says he gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth from his dwelling place. He forms the hearts of them all. He considers all their works. So God is all present, and he actually watches the hearts and the actions of people. He considers all of their works. It says, a king is not saved by a large army. A warrior will not be rescued by great strength. The horse is a false hope for safety. It provides no escape by its power. The psalmist is reminding us where we need to put our hope and our trust. And putting our trust in ourselves or in our human ability or even in the ability of other created things really is hope and trust that is wasted because it's going to fail. It's going to fail. But we need to put trust and hope where trust and hope belongs in the one and only true and living God. Let me tell you about Mr. J. Spates of the United States. Just this year, he recently discovered that he is actually royal. He took a DNA test, and the results popped up as being of royal descent. The funny thing is that Spates grew up in New Jersey. He grew up in New Jersey. He lives in an apartment. He does not even own a car. But now he's a prince. National Public Radio reports that he visited his long-lost country and was welcomed home as royalty. Another paper reported, when he first arrived, he saw what looked like a festival, hundreds of people dancing and playing instruments and singing. It took him several minutes to realize it was a welcome party for him. Here's an excerpt from his interview with National Public Radio. Steve Inskeep, the host, says, royal DNA, huh? Mr. Spates is a prince in the small West African country of Benin. His family had been trying to learn the African side of their lineage for decades, and at last he had an answer. So naturally, he got on a plane. Here's what Mr. Spates said. He says, next thing you know, I'm in Benin being crowned as a prince. It was that easy. Inskeep said, the royal family prepared a festival for his homecoming. They hung up banners, they held a parade, and because the prince had no experience with princing, the royal family sent him to so-called prince school. Makes sense. Here's what Spates said. He said, what may have added to the intensity of emotion was that it was my father's birthday. And to land there on my father's birthday was just unbelievable. And I tell you, my father's presence was with me. I could see him and feel him. Now, what we take is not about Spates' dad's presence in the moment. But we ought to realize, when we come to faith in Jesus, we discovered that we are a child of God, adopted as royalty into God's very family. This is what God does for us. He adopts us. Now, it's not a birthright for us. It's not just an entitlement thing. You know, because he could have gone and said, no, if you deny it, I have a right. No, it's not about the rights of us. It's about the love and care and provision of God. For us, it's a reminder. It's not a birthright that makes us children of God. It is when we place our hope and our faith in him. Verses 18 and 19 remind us that those who fear God are those who have an awareness of their absolute dependence on the work, word, character, and power of God. Let me give you that one more time. Those who fear God are those who have an awareness of our absolute dependence on the work, word, character, and power of God. That when I fear him, that is when I live in awe and respect of who God is and his work that he has done, the work that he is doing, and the work that I trust he has to do. And I put all my dependence on him. These are the ones that God calls his children. The ones that say, okay, Jesus, I believe you really did what you said you came to do. I believe you are who you say you are. And I put all my hope, my faith, and my trust in you and you alone because you are the only way to a right relationship with God. These are the people that God says, you are my son and my daughter. Now follow after me. Verse 20. We wait for the Lord. He is our help and shield. For our hearts rejoice in him because we trust in his holy name. May your faithful love rest on us, Lord, for we put our hope in you. These last couple of verses, this is an affirmation of trust in the Lord by the whole community of God's people. You see, often this psalm was believed to be used in worship, that they would sing through this psalm, and they would cycle through and they would sing the verses, much like we sing songs here together, and we have the words up on the screen. But people would sing this psalm, and it was a reminder of, yes, it is good for us to praise God. It is right for us to praise God. It is expected that we praise God. It's an affirmation of trust in the Lord by the whole community of God's people. So when we sing here on Sunday morning, Southwinds Church, we are really blessed to praise God. We praise Him for what He's done, we praise Him for what He's doing, and we praise Him for what He will do. You know, we have the approval of God as His children. That we don't do these things in hopes of receiving God's approval, but we sing praises to Him because He approves of His children. We can stand and rejoice together because of His great work of creation, His unwavering purpose, and the hope of being part of His family here and now. Southwinds, we've been walking through the Psalms together this summer. And we haven't gone number by number. We went in Psalm 1, Psalm 2, Psalm 23, Psalm 32, now Psalm 33. We've looked at how it is a blessing to have repentance, to be able to say, God, I agree with you. I've done something wrong and I want to turn from it. That's a blessing to have. We've looked at the blessing of having God as our protector, the blessing of having God as our shepherd, as our caregiver. We've looked at the blessing of being God's people and being rooted as a tree planted by irrigation, having all that it needs always. That God is always our supply. We haven't looked at blessing as having lots and lots of money. We haven't looked at blessing as having the perfect life, because we know we live in a world that's full of imperfection, don't we? Sometimes stuff happens that stinks. Right? Sometimes when you're nailing baffling to a ceiling, you run into a roofer's nail that came through the roof. If you have questions, look at some of the hands of the people that went to Wyoming last week. Stuff happens in life. When we come to faith in Jesus, it's not to the perfect life, it's to the right relationship, the perfect relationship with God, who leads us and walks us through. It is a blessing to be called His people. We are given the open invitation to become part of this family. And if you're here and you wouldn't say that I am a follower of Jesus, that I have come to the place where I believe that Jesus really is who He says He is, that He did what He said He came to do, and then I put my hope and trust in Him, that we want to offer you the opportunity, the free invitation. And you know what? It's not our invitation. It's one that's given to us by God Himself, that followers of Jesus in this room have responded to. And once we respond to that invitation, He gives us the blessing of inviting others. It's the best thing in the world that's not meant to be secret. It's the best gift that we could ever be given. God created us all of us, for His glory and for relationship with Him. And we've broken that relationship with our choices when I choose my way over God's way. The good news is that God has made the only way, the only path available back to right standing with Him, and that's through His Son. And if you have questions about that, we would love to answer those questions and pray with you about those things and give you that invitation. Now, our worship team is going to come and lead us in one last song. And Southwinds, you know, normally when we sing this last song, we sit and we reflect and we contemplate, and I want to invite you to continue to do the same, to reflect and contemplate. God, what is it you're saying? What is it you want me to do in response to your word, in response to what we sung today? However, this morning, I want us to do something a little bit different. I want us to stand up for this last song. If you're able, stand with us this morning as we sing, because we're reminded in Psalm 33, we're commanded to praise. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous ones. Praise from the upright is beautiful to God. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make music to Him with a 10-stringed harp. Sing a new song to Him. Play skillfully on the strings with a joyful shout. So Southwinds, let's make a joyful noise together this morning as we sing. Amen. It is really good to see everybody this morning. Thank you for joining us here at South Winds. Our hope and our prayer every week is that when you come here, that you're welcomed, that you're encouraged, that you're inspired, and that you are sent out from this place, knowing that we have the greatest news that could ever be shared, and we are meant to share it, and we're meant to praise God with everything that we do. Let's be sent today. And I just want to say welcome home to Dr. Steve and Susan Booth. We are so glad to have you back with us. Steve and Susan are International Mission Board missionaries, and they serve at our seminary in Cochrane, training and equipping leaders to go and serve in tough places. And that means that every few years they have to go and spend so much time in the United States, and usually it's 6 months, but this time it was a little longer because they got to be there for their birth of their second grandson. And so we are so excited for you guys. And we are thankful to have them safely home, aren't we? All right, let's pray, and then I'm going to ask you guys to be seated. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, thank you for your son that you sent to make the only way for us to be in right standing with you. God, we want to say we praise you this morning. We praise you with our songs. We praise you with our response to your word that we will be obedient. God, we want to praise you with the lives that we lead. Lord, I ask that you would bless and keep every person that you brought here today. Cause your face to shine on them, turn your grace toward them. God, would you give them peace? In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated.